Well, how about we pray as we come to look at God's Word together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us your Word, that we have this chance to be together in freedom, to be able to hear your Word. And we pray that you would help us to know you better and to live in response. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we continue our series in 3:16, which is looking at a number of key passages that all amazingly fall at chapter 3, verse 16, in a number of New Testament books, and all help us to understand a key idea as to who we are as Christians and how it shapes the way that we're to live as God's children. Now, I originally had chosen to preach on 1 John 3:16 today, which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." That's an awesome passage, isn't it? Encapsulates the gospel brilliantly. But Craig Stevens, who preached last week on 1 Corinthians 3:16, actually preached on this very passage only 3 months ago. And I thought, well, that's a bit cheeky to then come and preach on exactly the same passage 3 months later. So I thought, well, I better find another 3:16. I was very tempted to preach on Revelation 3:16, which says these words: "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." That sounds the perfect talk for summer, don't you think? You know, right up there. No, I thought I'd have a bit of pity on us. Look, I think there's a lot that that verse says to us Western Christians, and we do need to be careful, but a bit too feisty for summer. So I had pity, and we're going to have a look at 2 Corinthians 3:16, which just says simply, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, at first glance, this verse may not seem to be saying very much and would certainly not make the top 10 or even the top 100 of the greatest verses in the New Testament. But hang in there with me, because I think what is promised here can be enormously encouraging to us. Now, if we were to read this verse in isolation as though it kind of just was there and not in its passage, well, I think we'd struggle to know what this verse is all about. I mean, what's this veil that Paul speaks about that's taken away if we turn to the Lord? When I think of a veil, all I can think of is the veil a bride wears on her wedding day to cover her face. And these days, of course, doesn't really do that because you don't even know it's on. There is a veil over the face there, but you wouldn't even know it's there these days. The veil used to be very thick, so you didn't know who was behind the veil to some extent, but not these days. And so when the veil is removed, what's going on here? What's this whole thing about? But like all verses that we read in the Bible, we've got to read the verse in its context it's found in. And then we get the hint of what this veil is all about. We find that it's been referred to as something to do with the veil that Moses wore after he met with God back in Exodus at Mount Sinai. So to properly understand this verse, we need to first take a trip back in time to the time of Moses in Exodus 32 to 34, which we had partly read for us in our first Bible reading. Back in Exodus 32, we're told that Moses descends Mount Sinai with the 2 stone tablets containing the 10 commandments, only to discover, to his horror, that in his time up on the mountain, Israel had turned to worshipping Aaron's golden calf. In anger, when Moses comes down to the bottom of the mountain, he throws down the 2 tablets and destroys them. Of course, it's not just Moses that's angry about this act of apostasy. God himself is angry. And so Moses pleads with God a little later to spare Israel from total annihilation, which God agrees to do. However, this breaking of the promise that they had made to God in the covenant that he had made with them has its consequences. No longer will God's presence accompany Israel as he had done to this point, as he knew that if he was still in the camp with the Israelites, he would consume them in his anger. They were a people steeped in sin and rebellion. He was a God of absolute purity and holiness. So God withdraws his presence from his people and chooses only to meet with Moses in a tent pitch far away from where the people were camped. It was in this tent of meeting that Moses would speak with God. But here's the thing that's important to us today. Every time Moses came out of the tent after meeting with God, his face would shine. It first happened when God gave Moses the second copy of the Ten Commandments. And we're told in Exodus 34, verse 30, that when the people saw the skin of the face of Moses shine, they were afraid to come near him. And rightly so, because they knew that Moses' face represented God's presence, his glory, and therefore the potential of his consuming judgment on them. And so Moses, after speaking what God had told him to tell the people, would put a veil over his face to protect Israel from being destroyed. He did this each time after meeting with God. The veil then was a barrier, protecting Israel from the presence of the glory of God. And so as we come to 2 Corinthians, Paul's in the middle of arguing that because Jesus had paid the price now for our sins and had turned aside God's anger, his ministry is better than that of Moses. For where Moses had to protect God's people from God's presence by putting on the veil, now in Jesus, this veil is no longer needed. And we can now come into the very presence of God and be transformed by him. Now, that is a huge claim by the Apostle Paul. Remember, many of those who were critical of Paul's ministry were Jews. And so to claim that your ministry was better than that of Moses, well, that was a huge claim. But this is the reality of the new covenant in Jesus compared to the old covenants that God gave Moses. Well, that's all the background that we now need to know as we come to our verse in 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You see, having established that the new covenant ministry of Jesus is greater than the old covenant ministry of Moses, Paul now turns to the difference this makes for his original readers and us in verses 12 to 18 of our passage. And they are all a result of having the veil taken away. And this is where I think we can find much encouragement and understanding for today. The first of these differences is in verse 12. As ministers of the new covenant in Jesus, and we are that if we belong to Jesus, we can now be bold. Reading from verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. The hope Paul speaks about here is what he's been talking about in verses 7 to 11, about the superiority of the new covenant ministry that we have in Jesus. Because where the ministry of the old covenant and all its laws only brought condemnation, the ministry of the new covenant, what Paul calls here the ministry of the Spirit, brings righteousness. And what Paul says here is that since the ministry of the Spirit now brings us restoration in our relationship with God because of what Jesus has done for us, we, like Paul, can be bold in sharing this wonderful news with others. He goes on to say in verse 13, we're no longer like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. That is the judgment to come for their rebellion against God. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. When Moses' ministry was hampered by the hard hearts and rebellion of the people that he was speaking to, so much so that he needed to wear this veil to protect them, Paul's gospel ministry removes the veil over people's hearts. For as our key passage says, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You see, no longer, friends, do we need to shrink back and load up people with lots of rules and laws that they can never keep. No, the message we have to tell the world is that Jesus has done it all for us. And so all you need to do is turn to Jesus and put your trust in him, and you will be saved. Have a think about what difference that would make to the Apostle Paul. He was a Jew. Indeed, he was a Pharisee. He spent his whole life telling others to live a certain way if you wanted to be right with God. Do this, don't do that. All the Jews could see when Moses was read was rules, rules, and more rules to live by. And Paul tells us it was like placing a veil over their hearts so they could not see or respond to God properly. You know, I think sometimes out there in our community, people think the same about Christianity. They think that that if you want to be a Christian, then you need to give up all your freedoms and obey a whole bunch of rules. You know, no alcohol, no sex before marriage, no smoking, no fun. If you want to be a Christian, you've got to give it all up. It's as though their view of Christianity is masked or veiled from the reality of what Christianity is all about. The freedom that we now have because of what Jesus has done for us. It's not about rule keeping at all. It's about a relationship with the God of the universe. For as Paul goes on to say in verse 17, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The truth is that we now have the very best news to pass on to those about us. And so like Paul, we can be bold in this message. We have a message of freedom, not of rule keeping. We have a message of life, not of death and judgment. And friends, I think that's worth keeping in mind as we approach this season of mission, Summerfest, just in a week and a bit's time. For we have every reason to be bold in our invitations, every reason to be bold in our conversations with our friends and neighbours, because what we're offering people is freedom. For whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Our role is just to hold out Jesus. And if on hearing God's word they turn to Jesus, then the promise in this verse is that this veil that has covered their hearts will be taken away and they will enjoy the freedom of being restored in their relationship with God forever. This is an amazing promise that the Apostle Paul is alluding to here. But on the flip side, this verse also helps us understand why some people, no matter how many times you tell them the gospel, no matter how many times they've read words in the Bible, they just don't get it. For like us, before we turn to the Lord, they too have a veil over their hearts that stops them seeing the truth and responding to Jesus. And no matter what you do, no matter how impressive you are in your delivery of the gospel, if the veil remains, they simply will not understand the gospel or place their trust in Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that liberating. I am never responsible for the conversion of somebody else. Now, God may be pleased to use me to share the truth of the gospel with someone, to read the Bible with someone, but how they respond to that truth is never my responsibility. For the veil over their heart can only be removed if they turn to Jesus. Now, I realize that this raises that big theological dilemma as to whether it is we who choose God or if it's God who chooses us. And this verse is often used as the proof text for those who want to say, no, it's we who choose God. It says it there, we need to turn to Jesus. On the other hand, of course, there are plenty of verses in the Bible that tell us that God chooses us. And so I think we've got to hold both of those concepts together because they both belong together. But what is not in question is whether... is that it is only by turning to Jesus that we can be saved. Whether we do this by our own decision or whether it's the work of the Spirit that works in us first to convince us to look to Jesus, what we can see here is that the promise is that the veil will be taken away when we look to Jesus. And we see the true freedom that comes from living for him. Indeed, that's where Paul takes us next, to see that once that veil is removed, God starts his work of transforming us into his image, that we might become more and more like Jesus. In verse 18 we read, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." You see, in the Old Covenant, only Moses got to reflect God's glory. But now in Jesus, all those who belong to him, who have the Spirit, now are the ones who reflect the glory of God and become more and more like Jesus. When I went to Moore College, I was joined by a whole bunch of people that had just finished doing MTS, Ministry Training Strategy, with Philip Jensen at New South Wales Uni. And on the whole, you could pick the guys coming from New South Wales Uni. They walk like Philip, they talk like Philip, they share the same convictions as Philip, and at times they were just as confrontational as Philip. Why? Well, because Philip Jensen was their hero. I mean, they loved Jesus, Philip loved Jesus, but Philip Jensen was what they wanted to become as gospel ministers. They loved his wisdom. They loved his ability to teach the Bible. They loved him. And they spent more and more time, as they spent more and more time with him, they became like him. Paul is saying exactly that here about us with Jesus. You see, no longer do we need the veil to protect us from God's glory. We get the privilege of basking in the glory of Jesus with a thirst to know him through his word, to know who he is and what he wants from us, to meditate on his words. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit is transforming us to become more and more like Jesus. Now, I've seen that transforming power countless times. Firstly, in the mirror, in my own life, taking me from a man that is full of pride and self-importance to one a little more humble and keen to serve others. But then in many others as well, seeing people change from being greedy or self-righteous or foul-mouthed to becoming more and more like Jesus in their attitudes and in their actions. I heard this quote in a talk last night from Punchy's sermon on 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He picked another 3:16, and it's really worth listening to. It's on peace with God. But he quoted John Newton. John Newton, you know, is the author of Amazing Grace, that great hymn. And many of you would know that Newton, before he was a Christian, was a slave trader. Getting people from Africa, buying them and taking them off to America. He was infamous for his crude language and his debauchery. He wasn't a very pleasant man before he was converted. But during a storm at sea where he thought he was going to die, he turned to Jesus and by grace was saved, both physically from the storm and spiritually. And this is a quote that he went on to say a little later on. "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I one day will be. But I am not what I once was. By the grace of God, I am what I am." That captures this idea perfectly. We're all a work in progress if we belong to Jesus. We're all becoming more and more like Jesus. One day we will be just like Jesus. But in this meantime, we're progressively growing to become more like him as the Spirit of God changes us, changes our attitude, changes our actions, changes our thoughts to become more and more like Jesus. All because God has removed the veil that was over our hearts when we turned to Jesus and began to be transformed by the Spirit to become like Jesus. I'm sure many of you can remember it happening to you. That moment when the penny dropped, when you realised that you needed to be saved but you couldn't save yourself, that you needed Jesus. You humbled yourself, you turned to Jesus, you asked for his forgiveness. And then bit by bit you began to see your life change. The Bible, these words on a page from this ancient book began to make sense. You began to understand what it was saying. You started to become a little less selfish, a little more loving towards others. And over time, people started to comment that you've changed, that there's something about you that's different. All this because God has removed the veil over your heart when you turn to Him. You see, 2 Corinthians 3:16, it's a pretty simple verse, isn't it? But it holds such a precious promise for those of us who have turned to Jesus and put our trust in Him. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil that kept us from understanding the gospel. The veil over our hearts that convinced us that we were not good enough. The veil that told us that we could never live up to the law of God. The veil that prevented Israel from seeing God's glory and being in His presence, all now being taken away by Jesus, so that we who have turned to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour have the freedom to live for Him and be transformed by His Spirit to become more like Jesus each day. And because of this, we have every reason now to be bold in sharing this great news with anyone and everyone, praying that they will be willing to hear and turn to Jesus themselves. It's a great verse to remember as we come up into Summerfest in just over a week's time. So let me pray for us that God will place that very promise on our hearts, not only over these coming weeks or these coming months, but for the rest of our lives. What Jesus has done for us has made all the difference when it comes to growing in our knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You have removed the veil that was over our heart that stopped us from knowing You when we turned to Jesus, when we humbled ourselves and saw our need for Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Father, this veil is over the hearts of so many we love. It stops them from seeing Jesus as to who He really is. And we pray that across this Summerfest season and then across the rest of this year, You would be at work in the lives of many, removing this veil and helping them to see Jesus and Your word for what it is, true freedom and the power to transform lives. Help us, Father, to keep hold of this promise that this is what You have done. Help us if we're struggling to read Your word, to pray that You would remove the veil so that we would understand it better. Help us if we're in the situation where we don't yet know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, to turn to Him so that this veil will be removed and that we can know You as the Lord, as the King, and as our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.